Our guest today, frequent World Cafe visitor Loudon Wainwright III, is a Grammy-winning singer-songwriter with a recording career that has spanned over 40 years. He married into and cultivated an extremely musical family, first by marrying Kate McGarrigle of the McGarrigle Sisters and by fathering Rufus Wainwright and Martha Wainwright, and by later marrying Suzy Roach and fathering Lucy Wainwright Roach. He's also taken to acting in the past decade with feature roles in The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Big Fish, and Elizabethtown. His latest album, Older Than My Old Man Now, was released in April. The album is a witty and at the same time very sober look at aging and family. I started out by noting all of Loudon's family members that sing on it and mentioning that in the photo in the booklet of his father's gravestone, there is no Roman numeral 2 for Loudon Wainwright II.
That always annoyed me, actually. But my father technically was junior, although he didn't use that tag much.
And you were never saddled with Trey or anything like that?
No. No, my grandmother, of course, when we told her that she was going to become a great-grandmother, and we told her that, she said, "Oh, well, good, we'll have Loudon IV." And then we said, "No, we're going to call him Rufus," at which point she said, "That's a dog's name."
Right. So he was saddled with
a dog's name.
As problematic a name. How old were you when your father died?
Well, he died in 1988. So I was born in 46. So I guess I was, what's the math, 42?
How momentous was that for you at the time? I'm sort of getting around to what was more momentous, the day you passed him in age, which is sort of one of the themes of this album, or when he passed away?
Well, it was, you know, the parents are your parents are the giants in your life, and it was big. It was big when he died. In fact, I wrote a bunch of songs after that happened, which wound up on a record called History. It was a powerful thing when he died. Surpassing, you know, he passed away. He was 63. So when I hit my 64th birthday, that also had a resonance to it. His father died when he was 42. So I remember him being completely hung up that he was going to keel over and drop dead of a heart attack before he reached his finish line. So,
yeah.
But he made it, although he didn't make it, he only lived until he was 63.
Your father's job, I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, sounds not totally dissimilar to yours, except you're, you know, obviously a singer-songwriter, and he got to, Life magazine, be able to write a column about whatever his observations on just about anything. How did he end up with that job? That's a great job.
Well, he started out, you know, at the magazine probably staff writer, right out of college. And then he was an editor for years, and then they promoted him to a senior editor. And then in the late 60s, you know, he'd been at the magazine for 20-something years already, and they gave him this column called The View from Here, and he could write about anything, whether it was our dog being put down or Mickey Mantle retiring or the Johnson administration. The first column he wrote was about the movie Dr. Strangelove, I remember.
Uh-huh.
A great column about that had just come out. So he did have pretty much carte blanche. He could write what he wanted to write about.
Did these new songs, which relate to... obviously, they're not that different than what you normally write about your family and aging and all that. Mm-hmm. But they seem to, there's a cohesiveness to them. And I was wondering if you wrote them as a set.
Well, a lot of them have been written the last year or two. But some of them go back. I mean, including a song that I wrote in 1975 with Kate McGarrigle called Over the Hill, which is a song about getting old, and we wrote it when we were young, you know? But that seemed like a perfect addition for this record.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising how that fits in. And it's also surprising that you use some of your father's writings to preface some songs, and how perfect his voice could be your voice.
Yeah. You know, the older I get, I just, the more I feel like I'm we're the same person in a sense. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way about your kids, but I guess that's a great thing. I used to hate that idea, of course, that I would be anything like my father. But so to include him on the record, there are two songs where we have recitations that I read, but they were his. It was his writing.
Were those writings personal writings, or were those part of the columns?
They were. He was working for the magazine at the time, they were. I have to be careful about this because I don't want to get sued by Time Life.
Right.
But they were writings that he was doing at that time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Very careful. Well, I don't know if you want to do one of those or Older Than My Old Man Now, maybe one of those.
Well, I don't know the recitations by heart.
I was
so that's
about
the problem
that.
With that.
Yeah.
But I can do the song Older Than My Old Man Now.
That'd
which
be
is
great.
The title track. At 63, that's way too young. Now you gotta feed me, now you gotta need me, and I feel like a faithless son. 64 is awful old. Yeah, you know what can happen next. Hey, I'm older than my old man ever was, and I'm trying to keep it in context. Father died at 43. From now on, it's all gravy. I got 20 years more. Maybe I guess we'll have to wait and see. I wasn't sure the day would come. I've been living underneath his thumb. But I don't feel so free. I don't even feel like me. Now that there's no race left to run. That means I kicked his ass. But just cause you survive, that don't mean you feel alive, and your demise will come to pass. Yeah, older than my old man now. Trying to keep it in context. Not only older than my old man ever was, but I'm guilty of outliving my ex.
Loudon Wainwright is our guest, and that is Older Than My Old Man Now, which is the title track of the new album. Now, okay, there you go, Older Than My Old Man Now, but you have an extended longevity song on here, Double Lifetime, which you had a chance to record with Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
My hero. I think I say in the liner notes or one of the notes that he was my, you know, my foremost musical father figure. You know, when I was a kid in boarding school down at St. Andrews in Middletown, Delaware, I had a teacher. He was my Spanish teacher. He was from England, the man. His name was, Mr. Madison, I can't remember his first name, but he was a guitar player. And he, you know, he had heard Jack Elliott in the 50s when Jack went over and busked around Europe and England with Daryl Adams. And so he played me these old Jack Elliott records. And I just loved the performance aspect of it and the singing and the playing, obviously. He wasn't a songwriter. But then I got a chance to see him perform at the Newport Folk Festival, or I would take weekends and come up to here to Philadelphia and go to a club called the Second Fret and see Jack Elliott. And I just loved his thing. And then at some folk festival or other 30 years ago, I met him and we became friendly. So to ask him to do this song, Double Lifetime, was a real thrill.
That's great. Can you do that one? That's
sure, that's really sure. We'll do it without Jack.
Sans Jack, yeah.
I want a double lifetime. I want to start over. One lifetime's not enough. I need another 65 years on a practice run. Practice makes perfect. I'm about half done. I want a double lifetime. I want a double lifetime. I don't want to snuff it. 3 score and 10 just ain't enough. It feels like I finally got it all figured out. Almost free from the shame and the doubt. I want a double lifetime. Yeah, a lot more time. That's what I need. I can make my move. I can do the deed. I know I'm greedy. What do I care for the afterlife? I don't want to go there. I want a double lifetime, man. I deserve it. I want it so bad. I even got the nerve it's gonna take to get down on my bended knees, beg and pray and say, pretty please, give me a double lifetime. All right. Double lifetime, I wasted my first one the first time around. That's always the worst one. Don't know what you're doing and you just can't wait, so you go ahead and do it and then it's too late. You need a double lifetime. I led a double life in public and private. I want to lead it again. I'm not gonna deny it. I'm just like you. It's true, you know. Ask yourselves, are you ready to go? You want a double lifetime. Yeah, a little more time, cause you know I never want to keep living forever and ever. I know it sounds funny if the truth be told, but 120 don't seem that old. I want a double lifetime. Not gonna get it, but if a miracle happens, you know I'm gonna let it. If I eat enough yogurt, maybe I might. And the second time around, I'm gonna get it right. Give me a double lifetime. All right. Hey, Jack used to do this a lot on his record.
Double Lifetime. That's a great one. And as Loudon mentioned, that's the one you got a chance to record with Ramblin' Jack. That's a good one. Yeah, you know, not too many people kind of dare to write about aging, sort of. Yeah, and I say that because it's not always...
it's not a pretty. It's yeah, not always pretty.
It is not as pretty in many, many ways. And did you think twice about it, or is it just sort of, here I am?
Well, you know, when I decided I wanted to collect these, you know, gather these songs together and make a record, I went to my friend and the guy who produced the record and paid for the record, a wonderful guy called Dick Kinnett. We had done the Charlie Poole project a couple of years ago. And
which turned out pretty well.
That turned out great. Yeah. I won a Grammy, and it was great to work with Dick again. But I played him, you know, I sent him, you know, demos of the songs, and he kind of went, whew, man, this is, I don't know if I want to do this. And so but then he decided that the songs were good, and the job became to make a record that deals with death and decay, but not to bum people out. So, you know, and we did two things. There's some novelty songs on the record. I guess Double Lifetime is one of them, and My Meds, and a song called I Remember Sex, which are just fall into that silly song category that I do. And then did the other thing, which was it's a series of duets. There's a lot of guest singers, great singers. I mentioned Jack, Barry Humphries, Dame Edna Average, Chris Smither, great, great singer, contemporary of mine. My kids, Rufus and Martha and Lucy, sing on it. Suzzy Roach is on it. So by having other singers, I think that it lessened the downer aspect, you know, to just have other voices helping with the heavy lifting. I think hopefully that makes the record an enjoyable, yet at times sobering experience.
Well, okay, you just did one of the more lively, lively up-tempo ones, but I would agree with Dick that some of these other songs are really, really powerful, and the one that finishes things off is Something's Out to Get Me. Is that one you can do?
Sure. Actually, we were talking, when I came in this morning, we were talking about the Cruise.
Yes.
The Cayamo Cruise, which we both did a couple of years ago. And I wrote the song on the boat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to discourage people from going on the cruise because it is a kind of a bummer. But as it turned out, it was what I got done on that trip.
Do you remember the circumstances of why this came up?
Well, yeah, I do remember exactly. You know, we all have various medical issues, I guess you could say, and I have a recurring problem with an eye issue. I got my cornea torn several years ago, and now I have that wonderful thing called dry eye, where your eyes don't create enough moisture to lubricate things. And it's incredibly painful. And this old injury just keeps coming back. And so I was lying in my bunk on the boat there.
Gently swaying.
Yeah, gently swaying in complete agony.
Oh.
And thinking, God, you know. And fortunately, it went away. But that was what inspired this song.
Something's out to get me. Something's on my trail. Something like that bird dog running down that quail. Maybe it's that hellhound baying for my soul. Something's out to get me. And something's on a roll. Nothing used to get to me when I was young and strong. My foolish ways were wicked, yet I could do no wrong. I thought I was immortal, immunized from my own sin. Nothing used to get to me, but now something's moving in. Life's like an elevator, at least that's what I have found. You push a lot of buttons, but what goes up comes down. Getting old might make you wiser, like they say it should. But getting old's just getting old, and old ain't much damn good. That's what I found. There's a limit on the time you get to stick around. Book a table in a restaurant, but you can't sit there all night. There's another party waiting, and the maitre d's uptight. Something is relentless, like an ocean wave. You got to take it lying down from the cradle to the grave. But if there's one small comfort, one thing I know is true, that's something out to get me is out to get you too.
It's a great song, kids. Something's out to get me. A new one from Loudon Wainwright III, and that's the way the new album, Older Than My Old Man Now, finishes up. Great song. Well, you mentioned that you maybe had a new song that we will be the first to hear.
Yeah. Or,
that's kind of cool. How prolific are you? I know there was a period of time when your mom died that you were blocked a bit.
Yeah. That's about the only I just didn't feel like doing anything, and much less pick up the guitar and sing. I was so kind of devastated by that huge event. But then I got, you know, got better.
Yeah.
And got back to work. I compare songwriting to, it's like sex and fishing in a sense, you know, and I don't do it as much as I used to, but it's still fun when it happens. And there's always an element of luck involved, which I don't really understand. You know, why does a song come to you? I'm not like some songwriters I know who get up and sharpen pencils and sit down at the piano or the guitar, and I'm very lazy. I get a little nervous if months go by and I haven't written anything, and then I can write to order too. You know, occasionally I get an assignment to write it, a song or a topical song or a song for a movie. But there's still the trickling out. There's it's a trickle now instead of a torrent.
But it was certainly a torrent early on in your career.
Yeah.
Those first three albums were like wham, wham, wham,
yeah.
Filled with incredible...
I wrote my first song in 1968, and I made my first album and recorded it in 1969.
Wow.
I mean, at the beginning of my career, once I figured out that it was something I could do, I just was writing, you know, two, three songs a week.
Wow.
I think I think that happens when you're young. You know, you're just full of it. You've got a whole lifetime to draw on, too.
Absolutely. Kind of like math.
Yes.
Better when you're young. But now, this is new. How new is this?
This is a couple of weeks old. This is my wife and I just moved back. We've been living out on the end of Long Island, getting our last my 18-year-old daughter, you know, out of high school, and now she's in college. So we figured it was safe to move back into New York. And we have this dog called Harry, and so this is about a man and a dog in the city. If a man has a dog in the city, then a man has to walk in the park. Take a little stroll by the riverside, smoke a cigarette there in the dark. Living in the city, man walking with a dog. And a man has to carry him a plastic bag on his person at all times. When a dog dumps on the sidewalk, just walking away is a crime. Living in the city, man walking with a dog. A man likes living in the city, but a man has to find some work. Walking with a dog is a kind of a job, make you feel like a fool and a jerk. Living in the city, man working like a dog. Dog likes living in the city. In the city there's a lot of other mutts. Checking in front, checking in back. No ifs, no ands, just buts. Living in the city. Dog checking out a dog. It's a pretty good way to meet a woman. If a woman is walking her dog, you just say, what's his name? How old is he? It's easy like rolling off a log. Checking out a woman. Man acting like a dog. When a man has a fight with a woman, a man needs to go for a walk. Walking with a dog is easy. He listens, he don't talk. Talking to a dog.
Walking with a dog in the winter, in the wind, in the rain, and the snow is a drag. It's hard as hell to keep the cigarette lit and get the crap in the paper bag. Living in the city, man, walking with a dog. If a man has a dog in the city, man has to walk in the park. Take a little stroll by the riverside, smoke a cigarette there in the dark. Living in the city, man, walking with a dog. Started with a plastic bag and wound up with a paper one. But
yeah, I thought maybe you're thinking of putting it on someone's doorstep and lighting it on fire.
That's what we used to do, right?
Yeah.
Halloween hijinks.
Oh, my God. That's a great song. That's a really nice
one. Good.
I can see a whole animal album coming next. Or,
yeah,
or an animal metaphor album, at least.
Yes.
Loudon, it's always great to see you.
Oh, great to be here, David. Thanks for having me again.
And a very, very fine new album called Older Than My Old Man Now, Loudon Wainwright. The third, our guest here on the World Cafe.